on the Harking Back page by Emma Brennan this week that's called When Social Life Revolved Around the Dance Floor. Emma looks back on a time when the local dances were where people met and formed new relationships. She says, I was recently talking to my mum about how much of our lives are influenced by the virtual world these days, not least how people socialise and meet people. It's all beyond her comprehension that most of the young people we know met their partners online via dating apps. I sympathise, as it must be nigh on impossible to ascertain if you'd like to get to know someone with only a photograph and a few words, which may or may not be true, to go on. Got me thinking back to how we forged relationships and friendships long before the internet was ever invented, and I asked Mum what it was like for her when she was a teenager in the 1950s. We used to meet people at dances in the local village hall, she said. It was a beautiful hall with a lovely floor and the music provided by the Johnny Nice Band. There was never any trouble because there was someone on the door to prevent any of the riffraff from coming in. I wasn't keen on the dancing, but I could do it, depending on who I was dancing with. Some people were terrible and trampled all over your feet. There was one lad who pumped your arm up and down like he was trying to draw water. I sat near the door, and if I saw him coming towards me, I would disappear into the toilets. In the 1960s, they held annual dances in the car park of the neighbouring town. There was no alcohol at these events, but the town had a coffee bar, which was another place to hang out and meet people. One car park dance participant there was a slight... One car park dance person told me that at the last event in 1963, there was a slight altercation between the local youth and the police, started by someone knocking a policeman's hat off. By the time I was at middle school, we had an annual school disco, which was both a joy and a dread for me, because I was quite shy and hated dancing. One year, it was around the time when the film Grease was released, my best friend was going to wear a boob tube top and pencil skirt with high-heeled mule sandals, like those that were worn by the main character Sandy in the film. Others were going to wear those shiny satin trousers. I crazed Mum to buy me a pair of mules, but she would not entertain the idea, insisting they would ruin my feet. Undeterred, I borrowed a pair of sandals from my sister's friend, which she had worn when she was a bridesmaid. Having no luck persuading my mum to cough up for shiny pants either, I resorted to wearing a red velour tracksuit, which was a hand-me-down, even though it was a hideous mismatch with the sandals, which were pale pink. Just as well I didn't like dancing, because I could barely walk in the high strappy sandals, let alone boogie. I spent most of the evening sitting on one of the chairs arranged in a rectangle around the periphery of the school hall, trying to avoid the glance of game young lads who were brave enough to risk getting his foot punctured by a stiletto heel. Joking apart, though, it was a sociable event which gave us a chance to see what our fellow classmates were like when they were free to let their hair down. I recall another dance in the village hall in the 1980s, when Adam and the Ants, Shaking Stevens and the Stray Cats were popular. You can imagine the range of outfits and dance styles, with rockabilly types sporting crepe soles and quiffs, people with white stripes across their faces gyrating to ant music, plus a smattering of heavy metal fans headbanging like they were attempting to shake a cockroach out of their ears. One friend was a Michael Jackson fan and insisted on wearing a lace glove while attempting the moonwalk. As an aside, I will never forget him demonstrating this at a family party, my nan asking, "Is there something wrong with him?" I do feel for today's youngsters who have been brought up with the notion that communicating via social media is socialising and that the internet is the primary way to meet people. Statistics show that young people go to nightclubs and pubs much less frequently than previous generations, which is a shame as I can't help feeling they are missing out. Yes, the discos of yesteryear had their downside for the shy non-dancers like me, but even I was persuaded to dance with a few fellow sticky-up hair people, albeit a kind of shuffle round in circles on the spot, whilst in a bear hug-like clinch. Because each decade has had its own distinctive style, you can immediately see who was into the same fashion and music as you, which provided a good starting point for friendship. You could tell if someone shared your taste, or if their dancing made you cringe just a little bit too much. And there's a few photographs. There's one of a school dance. It says, school disco enabled youngsters to see their classmates let their hair down in a less formal setting, looking very much like school kids, probably of the late 60s, early 70s. And there's a photograph of Emma's mum in her teens with her dance heyday of the 1950s.